This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
I'm Barry Young. I'm the Executive Director of Sumner County Tourism in Tennessee.
And I'm Sarah King, and I'm the Sales and Tour Manager for Sumner County Tourism.
Love it. First of all, where is Sumner County?
We are about 25 minutes northeast of Nashville. So we touch the Kentucky border to the north and then Nashville to the south of the county.
Close but far away.
Close but far away, absolutely. Got a little bit of both.
You guys really have a distinctive destination that's distinct from Nashville.
Absolutely. Of course, Nashville is growing by leaps and bounds, and we are fortunate to be near Nashville. However, for the visitor who may want to get out into the outdoor scene a little bit, this is the place. You know, we're out here near Old Hickory Lake at the moment. We have scenic beauty, which includes the lake. We have a lot of historic sites. And, of course, our country music heritage is really big for visitors as well.
Tell us about some of the musicians that are from here.
Well, of course, I would have to start with Johnny and June Carter Cash. They lived here for over 35 years during their entire music careers until their deaths in 2003. Conway Twitty also lived here. Roy Orbison lived here.
What point did Roy Orbison live here?
He lived here in the 60s, actually on a plot of land very close to where Johnny Cash's house was built. And of course, a lot of people don't realize that Roy Orbison's home burned down and he lost two of his sons in the fire. And then later, Braxton Dixon, a local architect, built that house that Cash lived in. And when Johnny saw it, he wanted to buy it. And he and June Carter lived there, which was just right on the next plot to where Roy Orbison lived.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So also, like, some more current artists as well. Taylor Swift lived here for a little while. Ed Sheeran, Diplo, you might know, the DJ. And then we've also got...
Taylor Swift went to school here,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, Taylor Swift went to Hendersonville High School. So she went for a couple years, and then she was discovered and got big in Nashville, and then was homeschooled after that because of her popularity.
Oak Ridge Boys. Marty Stewart, Connie Smith, Gary Allen... The list just goes on and on.
Do you think, bottom line, the reason why this was a magnet was the distance from and yet the proximity to getting into Nashville?
Yes, I believe that to be true, as well as since the lake is here, mm-hmm. They could live an outdoor-type life, mm-hmm. but then be just 20, 25 minutes from the Grand Ole Opry.
Mm-hmm. So Johnny's sister, Joanne, still lives in the area.
And well, she does.
Yes.
Is Tommy around here,
yep,
too?
Tommy's in the area. So they're both here in the area. They still travel and sing mm-hmm. and do all sorts, but we get to have that celebrity piece and talk with them as well sometimes with groups. And Joanne did say that Johnny moved to the area because it was so close to Nashville, mm-hmm. but he could drive 20 minutes, be in nature, go on the lake. His house was right on the lake, and so have some of that anonymity as well, being outside of Nashville, but being close enough to still go in.
Interesting. So yeah. Sumner County truly is kind of the roots of country
mm-hmm.
music.
Mm-hmm.
People, performers, destiny. It's really fascinating.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Johnny Cash, if you'll remember, had the Johnny Cash Show, I believe. Mm-hmm. I think it was on CBS. And he had a lot of celebrity guests, and it's my understanding that a lot of the guests back then would stay in Johnny Cash's home in Hendersonville when they came to appear on the television show.
Cool. Okay, so you guys had all day to take me around. Where would we go? What would be the highlights of the county?
Well, we would probably start with showing you what we call our Country Stars driving tour and show you where Johnny Cash's home was and where Roy Orbison's home was, where some of the Oak Ridge Boys live. Depending on time, we can show you where Conway Twitty had his Twitty City.
That was like a theme park, wasn't it?
It was, and actually a lot of people don't remember, but that's where country music television was born, in that area also. And
that is no more?
Well, the buildings are still there. Actually, TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network, owns that now, and Governor Mike Huckabee, you might have heard of him, who ran for the presidency and was a governor of Arkansas. He now has a variety show that he tapes there in the old Conway Twitty facility.
And how about getting out to nature? We had a great morning.
Yes, we've got some beautiful rolling hills here in Middle Tennessee, that with Old Hickory Lake. It's just a beautiful place. Bledsoe Creek State Park even though it's a small park, is a beautiful little place. And we did a little axe throwing this morning. Of course, right now we are out here on Bledsoe Creek, which goes into the lake, and I think you're getting ready to do some kayaking.
Yeah, we are. And where does the kayak adventure go to and from?
I guess we would have to talk with Leslie, our guide, as to exactly where it goes. But, you know, the lake is part of the Cumberland River system, so you could theoretically get on a boat or a kayak, I guess, if you were strong enough, and you could go all the way to downtown Nashville, Tennessee from right here. You'd have to go through one lock.
Nice.
And
well, let's get out on the water.
Let's do it.
All right. Thank you so much, you guys. All right. We got to go kayaking now. But before we go, for further information, best place to direct people to would be?
Sumner County Tourism. Phone number is
615-230-8474. And our website is www.visitsumnertn.com. We also have social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
And most of our handles on those things, I think, are Visit Sumner TN, and that is S-U-M-N-E-R, Sumner. My name is Barry Young. I'm the Executive Director of Sumner County Tourism.
And I'm Sarah. I'm the Sales and Tour Manager for Sumner County Tourism.
That is why I sing. All my joy is with you, I'll share. I'm going to take a trip in that old gospel ship and go.
Mike Kenney.
Mike Kenney, and you're the
county mayor of Marshall County. I got elected last August, so I'm finishing up my first year as county mayor of this great county.
So it's a one-year term?
Four-year term.
Four-year term.
Four-year
okay.
term, so finishing year one.
Mm-hmm. And you have a council? Who's
we have
under
a county
you?
Commission that's consisted of 18 members. Mm-hmm. We have 9 districts in Marshall County, and each district has 2 representatives.
And the population is?
We're at 32,000, roughly, maybe a little bit more than that, but anxious to see what the 2020 census hold for us, because we've had a lot of growth, especially in the north end of Marshall County.
Because you're closer to Nashville?
Getting a lot of what we call the Williamson County, Rutherford County flight coming across the county line. Mm-hmm. You know, folks, you know, those counties are growing as well. But mm-hmm. there's a lot of folks that are kind of leaving there and coming.
They want to get more rural.
And so we've seen a lot of growth here in the last 5 to 6 years.
What is the attraction here for somebody coming in, either to visit or to move here?
Oh, I just think we have a warm and welcoming community. And, of course, every community says, oh, there's nothing to do here. But if you just take a look around Marshall County, we have a lot to do. Horton Park is a true gem for our county. And, you know, their golf course is well-known throughout the state.
And this is a state park.
This is a state park. The disc golf course that we've got here is another attraction. The pool, the cabins, the hiking trails, the wetlands. The Duck River is right along with the park. And so this is a tourist destination for sure for our county.
So what you're saying in general, you would kind of define the county from a tourist standpoint as an outdoor destination.
A lot more outdoor, yes. You know, we've got, you know, we're in the walking horse area, so we have walking horse shows in 3 of our communities.
Wow.
Every summer, and those draw good crowds as well.
Walking like as Tennessee Walker?
Tennessee Walking
yeah?
Horse, absolutely.
The smoothest horse I've ever ridden in my life.
And we had 3 great shows this summer. Mm-hmm. Chapel Hill is known for their Lions Club tractor pool, which brings in 10,000 folks or more to this community.
Give me another highlight, the walker horses. That's really cool.
That's really cool. And, you know, our golf courses, we've got an 18-hole course here at Horton. We've got an 18-hole course in Lewisburg. We've got a 9-hole course. So for a county our size, and basically we can offer you, 45 holes of golf? Mm-hmm. You know, for golfers that want to make a weekend destination of trip, mm-hmm.
You know what's funny is that the world has changed. And you and I might talk about playing golf, right? And we know what we're talking about. And now the boys behind us are going to go, oh, you mean ball golf.
That's right.
We're disc golf.
We're a disc golf family. Yeah. And we have more and more of those coming up. I mean, I promise you, I was one of those 5 years ago when you told disc golf. You know, I called it frisbee golf.
Yeah, they get mad if you say
it's
that.
It's not frisbee golf. Yeah. It's disc golf. But it's becoming more and more popular, and you're mm-hmm. seeing that. And it's something the whole family can do as well. Yeah. So it's something exciting here. Getting ready to build another course in Lewisburg. So, mm-hmm. you know, I talked about we've got 45 holes of real golf. Mm-hmm. We're going to have 36 holes of disc golf in the county to offer.
Oh,
so
cool.
That's cool.
And are you a businessman? How did you get into being county mayor?
I tell people my first life, I was a pharmacist. I did that for 30 plus years.
Independent?
Independent. Was a partner in an independent pharmacy. Had great partners that nurtured me and mentored me through the way. And Kind of decided about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, there was an opportunity to get out. I thought I was a little too young, but yeah. It was just a good opportunity
it's
to
a
do so.
Shift in the industry, isn't it?
Yes, and that you know, the tides kind of changed. Yeah. So I saw that chance and got out, did coordinated school health for about 4 years, and then the opportunity for the county mayor seat came open last year, and I decided, why not? Mm-hmm. And we'll just throw our name out there and see what happens. Yeah.
So since you're now county mayor, any surprises, any big challenges that you didn't expect?
You know, when you come from the private sector, things kind of happen at a snap-your-fingers pace. Yeah. When you get into government, it slows down to a snail's crawl. And I know people, you know, that's used a lot, and people go, sure, but it really is. And you see things. And
that must be frustrating.
It's very frustrating. Yeah. You know, it's very frustrating because you think things can be so simple and so easy, mm-hmm. and they're not. I mean, it's you got to have patience, mm-hmm. and you got to have perseverance, and you can't, you know, and you can't get, throw in the towel. Yeah. You just got to stay the course. And I laugh. I tell people now, I know why certain people stay in offices so long. They won't see something get finished that they started.
It takes a career.
It takes a while. So that's been the frustrating part.
Yeah. And also why some of the best bail out, because they get too frustrated.
It can get frustrating. And so that's one of the things that I just had to kind of dial myself back on and just say, okay, let's show some patience. Patience is a virtue. I always tell everybody else that, so I got to live by that as well.
Well, I got to let you get back to work, I guess.
I got to go to work. Yeah. You got to catch up with your group, but hey, thanks for being here. There's so much here we do. And I just want to quickly, though, you said, what are some indoor things? We have a great community theater in Lewisburg, and we got a lot of talented people in that regard, too. So we're not just all about outdoors. We're not all about sports. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got a multicultural community that I'm very proud of, and I always encourage people, if you can get down here, you'll fall in love with us.
Cool. And to learn more, do you guys have a website?
We have a county website, tourism and whatever in this area. And, of course, I always say, hey, when you can't do that, call my office, and I'll be glad to give you the ins and outs. I love talking about Marshall County. I am Mike Kenny, and I'm the county mayor of Marshall County.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure.
Thank you for being here.
I was standing by the window on one cold and cloudy day.
I'm Tommy Edwards. We're on Cheek Bend Road. We're at the Cheek Bend Natural Area here in Murray County, Tennessee.
And you're with the Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency.
That's correct, yes.
So are you a park ranger in a way?
I am considered a wildlife manager, which I have both land duties and enforcement duties.
Mm-hmm. So you're post-trained, you can shoot me.
We don't want to go there. But yes, we do law enforcement on the area also. Yeah.
But you're way out in the country.
That's correct.
Yeah. This is a very popular hiking destination, isn't it? Tell us about the loop. We just want to...
It is. We're about an hour south of Nashville and not far from the interstate. It's a nice, well-kept trail. It usually takes about an hour to go in and out.
But it's funny. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere in the sense you're not going to drive by and go, oh, my God, there it is.
Right.
How do people find out about this park and the hiking trail?
Well, with today's internet, you can go on the state of Tennessee's website and you can Google or search for Cheek Bend Trail, and there are maps and directions on the internet.
Earlier we were talking about a single hiking book that's been a game changer for you.
Yes.
In this park.
Yes, there's a hiking book out. It's called 50 Trails Close to Nashville. I'm sure that's probably not the name, but it is in there. And
you bought the book.
I did, yes. And we're in that book, and people are coming from all over the state to see this area.
Very, very cool. So anything you want to add about the park and kind of outstanding things that somebody would see and do?
Well, you can see a lot about Tennessee. The Duck River, just become prepared when you're coming on the trail. You know, have all your essentials, some extra water, and just watch where you step. We do have critters around here.
And GPS, yes. Or cell phone helps.
Oh, right, yes. The trail is well marked with blue paint, but just be aware of where you're at. And if you do step off the trail, just keep the trail in sight.
And again, geographic location for somebody that hasn't been to this area, mm-hmm. you know, describe where you're located relative to Nashville.
Okay, we're just south on I-65. We're in the Nashville Basin. You'll see a lot of limestone rocks and cliffs and plenty of oak trees.
Tommy, if somebody wanted to learn more, where would you direct them?
Okay. My name is Tommy Edwards. I'm with the Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency. If you're coming out of Nashville, you'll take I-65 south and you'll exit 46. You'll come into Columbia and try to find your way to Sal Mill Pike. And Sal Mill Pike will take you straight to Cheek Bend Road, and that's where we're at.
Tommy, thanks again.
Thanks a lot.
My name is Sean Renone. I'm a park ranger at Henry Horton State Park in Chapel Hill, Tennessee. I've been with Tennessee State Parks since 2008, on and off as a seasonal, full-time for almost 5 years. And I went to Middle Tennessee State with a degree in leisure, sports, and tourism. So worked here, grew up in Nashville, and worked here part-time through college, and now I'm here full-time. So my job is to share the story of the park.
Make sure my footing's good.
Playing disc golf is a popular activity at state parks across Tennessee, and at Henry Horton State Park, it's a specialty. Come along and let's discover about the art of playing disc golf.
So you noticed when it went out of your hand, it kind of was a little bit angled, right? So founder and creator of disc golf, Ed Hedrick, and his son were the original designers on this course. In 1987, the course opened up, and it's we just now replaced baskets and are updating the course as we go.
So this is the mothership of disc golf
in Tennessee State Parks. It's one of the first courses in Tennessee State Parks. There's 5 courses currently.
What are the other courses?
Cedars of Lebanon, Meem and Shelby Forest. There's a 9-hole at Pickwick Landing. The most recent is Panther Creek in Morristown, 18-hole championship level course where they host the state tournament. Then up north of there in the Bristol Kingsport area is Warrior's Path. And they have an 18, actually I think they have a 27-hole course.
Wow.
And then Henry Horton was one of those originals. So Meeman, Horton, and Cedars were the originals.
And today, which is the best, the premier?
For state parks, as far as drumming up attention and getting TLC, it would be this course right here. There was already a club in place and people who loved using the course and playing frequently. This last year, we developed the Duck River Disc Golf Club, and they are players that have been around the area for years and years. Some of the guys have been playing since the 80s, you know, before the 80s, a long time. So now they're here and focused on running a weekly doubles tournament and a weekly bag tag, where you have a membership tag, and they play for the lowest number. And then monthly, they do a large tournament as well, where they make money for the club, and then every dollar $1 of every player goes back to the park.
You have a grand event at Pebble Beach of
so we
year.
Do. We just hosted our second annual Duck River Open. That was the hybrid tournament I was talking about earlier. It hosted on the golf course. We use carts. We've cut a course into the rough, super rough of the golf course. We don't touch hardly any of the fairways, any of the greens. And we've cut a disc golf course in the back nine of the 18-hole golf course.
In the baskets, you drive them into the ground temporarily?
So we have temporary baskets that look, they match these. They just have a temporary base with a single wheel. They stand upright on their own. You don't have to put them in the ground. They're portable.
And when you have a grand tournament like that, how many participants and how many people would come out to watch?
So last year we hosted a C-tier PDGA-sanctioned event. This year we bumped it up to a B-tier. We had 90 players on the field. That's 90 registered players. About 25 of those were pros. Whether they're pro for 10 years or 1 month, they have a rating that they get ranked by. And so the tournaments that they play in gets them a higher ranking, and they can go into the pro level. That's when they play for cash and higher prizes. And so this year we had a player named Will Schustrick, who is a 3-time U.S. champion and 2-time world champion. And we had Logan Bowers, who's a local kind of phenom. He's placed pretty well in the world championship, which was last week. He actually won the tournament here. So several other big names and lots of people from Nashville, Middle Tennessee Disc Golf Association. Lots of people that have been around. Ed Birdie's been around for a long, long time. One guy from Texas, I can't think of his name, but he was one of the guys that was heavily involved early in the sport, before they even started developing baskets, when they had poles in place. So,
are there any pockets of popularity of this sport, like Texas, for example?
So right now, like I know in East Tennessee, where you were at Panther Creek, their biggest goal was to be the disc golf center of Tennessee, or even of the Southeast. So they developed that course with that kind of aspiration, and then now, like, you're seeing a lot in Kentucky and the Bowling Green area. Of course, Tennessee is large into the sport. Texas, Colorado. I don't think there's any states, there might be, this is probably a good research, if there's any states in the whole country that don't have a course. And it's becoming more and more popular because it is recognized as a professional sport.
The future viability of any sport is predicated on getting kids looped in.
Oh, absolutely.
What do you do there?
So for children to be involved, there is an amateur division if they wanted to compete. There's also a usually a kids field that they'll do. So they do amateur worlds where they can compete.
Do you have any like summer camp, day camp
That's
stuff?
That's something that we've looked at developing here. I don't know as far as other parks or what other associations might be doing that, but our goal here is to have community outreach. We incorporate our Healthy Parks, Healthy Person program so that you can get rewards for just being out here and exercising and, you know, throwing and walking and hiking and so forth. I mean, getting children involved. We've talked about doing clinics and getting people out here to instruct. I feel like I could do instruct the basics, but getting a pro to actually have a clinic is definitely within our reach and something that would be great here.
And is there an admission charge to get into the park?
No, none of our Tennessee state parks or any of our Tennessee parks, even national, the federal parks, have an admission fee. So we're one of the only states in the country that has zero admission fee. Henry Horton, and the only thing you pay for here is a meal or accommodations overnight or the swimming pool, golf. But disc golf is completely free unless you were to play in a tournament or some sort of associated event. Sean Raynone, I'm a park ranger here at Henry Horton. S-H-A-U-N. Raynone is R-A-I-N-O-N-E. Most people call me Rain One. It's easy to remember. Rain One, R-A-I-N-O-N-E.
Love it. So, thanks.
You're welcome.
Or Rain Man.
Rain Man. That's good, too.
Good. You want to bring this with us? You want to bring this with us?
Yeah.
I want to see you with this driver.
This one's actually a distance driver. So if you don't have success with that, you can try with this one, or okay. I can try with this one.
Well, what's he got? Does he have a distance?
Beginners, like I said earlier, beginners want to start with putters or mid-range. I am no professional, but I will demonstrate what a typical throw would look like. So if you're a beginner, typically they recommend starting at the front of the concrete area. Not all of the courses are concrete. Some of them are natural surface. Some of them are AstroTurf. It just depends on the park and the budget. And then if you go out west, there's different materials used too. So we have concrete here. As a beginner, they say to start at the front of the pad, and you just have a nice reach back here. You want to keep your hand level. So they say to kind of either imagine flicking a towel with your snap of your wrist, like you're popping your
like
little, your brother. Exactly.
You know about that.
Or to imagine the disc sliding along a table. Okay, so keeping it level along a flat surface. So that's the goal. That's the basket we're aiming at. It's a straight shot.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so
it's a long way away.
265 feet.
And par is three.
Par is three, so that means we have three attempts to get it in the basket.
Man.
It can't sit on top. It can't touch the pole. It has to be in the chains. This is a Valkyrie. It might be a little bit too strong for this hole, depending on how good you are. A beginner would typically, like I said, start with a putter or mid-range, but if you can control...
So that would go left or right real easily
for a righty throwing backhand, you're going to naturally pull the opposite direction. So when you throw a forehand with a flick here, it's naturally going to go to the right if I'm right-handed. I'm no pro, but we'll see. And so they say as you develop your skills, mm-hmm. as you develop your footing, you can get a running start or a couple steps. And so I've been playing since I was 12. I'm not very good, but I know how to get a running start. Just adds to your power.
Okay. Oh my God!
It's okay. All like baseball. Okay, so baseball is in your hips.
Well,
you could have
like
a
that.
Sure, but the torque comes from the power in your hips here. So when you have the twist in your hips, you don't have to be in shape or strong or studly in any way. You just any
body physique, whatever it may be, shape or size, can play this sport.
But where do you want to hit, high or low? If I'm from here.
At this point, it's fine.
Okay.
Yay!
Yay! I can't believe it. I putted.
We're in Mont Haven Arts and Cultural Center in Hendersonville, Tennessee, just right outside of Nashville. I'm Cheryl Strichick. I'm the executive director.
Tell us about what this is all about here. This is a pre-Civil War plantation mansion house, huh?
Well, now we call it, of course, a jewel box museum, but it was the original land of a land grant from Washington to a gentleman by the name of Henry Rule. And now today it is a beautiful gallery, antebellum style home that we have converted into an art gallery museum.
Touching back in time, this I understand was a Civil War hospital.
It was. Actually, it was considered what they called a field hospital at the time. The Northern troops had, there was a skirmish that had broke out about 10 miles from here. And the Northern troops came in and took the home over and took care of the Southern and Northern troops.
Jumping forward in time, this became an art gallery, an art center, an educational center for the arts.
Yes. A little over 2 years ago, the home was being utilized, since it's owned by Hendersonville, the city of. It was being utilized as the, actually, as the Arts Council. And a little over 2 years ago, we rebranded and became Mont Haven Arts and Cultural Center. And so now we have after-school art programs with a little over 200 students, and then we have summer camps, art camps, and that's a little over 200 students. So we're growing by leaps and bounds. We're servicing a lot of the children between the ages of 5 and 17 in all of their art wishes, art endeavors.
Here you are in Hendersonville, right on the border, a small little town. Yeah, it's near Nashville, and you have a major display of Picasso's works. That's really cool.
Actually, it is incredibly cool, and we're very fortunate here at the MAC to have over 64 pieces of the Picasso ceramic editions. We were kind enough, or actually I should say Park West Galleries, Park West Foundation, has been kind to us and has enabled us to have this show. It's a wonderful show. It's paired with the paintings of Marcel Mouly, which was a gentleman that did have a couple of group shows with Picasso during their times together. And the show is just brilliant. The ceramic editions are just so whimsical, so creative. It's just a real gift to be able to see an amount of pieces as large as this is, 64 of his ceramic. It's unbelievable.
It really is.
It is.
Yeah. And going forward, this is relatively new as an art center, as an educational center for kids that are still in school. Tell us about how it's going to evolve in the relatively near term.
Well, it's going to evolve. Hopefully, we are working right now. We've just secured the land right around us, about 5 acres. And our dream and hope and ambition is to build a freestanding arts enrichment center, which will be for visual arts and music. We have the capital campaign just being kicked off, and we're hoping to have that center up and running by 2021. Right now we're limited with our classrooms being upstairs that we can't do things like sculpture. We can't do the ceramics. We can't do metalworks. We can't do glass blowing. So we really need the larger campus. We need the classrooms to be able to facilitate and be able to offer those to the youth in our community. And adults. We give a lot of adult classes here also.
And fascinated to learn it's not just the visual arts. You have a relationship with Mabel Carter, is my granddaughter?
Carlene Carter is the daughter of June Carter, who is June Carter Cash. She married Johnny Cash when Carlene was a young girl. Carlene's grandmother is Mabel Carter, who they call the mother of country music or bluegrass. And Carlene has been kind enough to come in and is starting our Heritage Music Series.
When's that going to happen?
That starts this fall. She's going to start by teaching the auto harp. She's going to start with the stringed instruments. And she will be giving these classes, these instructions to children and adults as well.
That's so cool. Anything you want to add?
Just that we all really enjoy what we do here. We love that we are surrounded by beautiful art every day. We just encourage the people that are in our area or who are touring through Tennessee to come to Mount Haven Arts and Cultural Center, see the wonderful shows, the wonderful exhibits that are here, and be a part of what's happening.
If somebody wanted to learn more, where would you direct them?
Our website is www.monthavenartsandculturalcenter.com. And my name is Cheryl Strichick. Again, I'm the executive director here. And we're open every day except Monday.
Thanks for sharing.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. And I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Tennessee.
Go, cat.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Blue suede shoes, baby. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. You can do it.